Well, thank you, Lynn, and welcome, everyone. So, happy Mother's Day. How appropriate to have a special day set aside to celebrate mothers. And it's a day that we can all participate in, for there's not a single one of us that did not have a mother that brought us into this world. It was 100 years ago, in 1914, that Congress set aside the second Sunday in May as an official holiday to honor motherhood. So welcome, and thank you for being here. It's our weekly gathering of Awakening Together. It's a special time every Sunday when we join together right here in the Pal Talk Room online. And we celebrate with a worship service. A worship service of music and fellowship, teaching and contemplation. So right now, let's take a few minutes and greet each other as we join together in our online sanctuary for the weekly assembly. And this is the time, if we were in a physical room instead of a virtual room, we would turn to the people next to us and give them a warm greeting. As we meet and greet each other in the room, we use the Pal Talk message board to type in our greetings, salutations, and comments. So I'll play some music while we greet each other. At this time, we always give a brief explanation of the purpose of Awakening Together. And I'm not sure who our administrator is today. Is it you, Lynn? But the administrator will post a link to our website where you can access our purpose and values. Our purpose is awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths and many cultures and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. So I guess Jay McCormick is going to be our administrator. Okay, go for it, Jay. So you can read more about our purpose and values on our website. And for those who are listening in on the radio, the website URL is www.awakening-together.org. And then look under About Us and Purpose and Values. We have five basic core values that we use as our creed. And you may read the full description of the core values on our website. Here's a quick summary of our core values. We trust a unique inner guidance leading us to awaken to our one true self. We realize everyone is equal with no authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We accept our changeless, non-dual, we accept one changeless, non-dual presence or being as our true self. Without idolizing any spiritual doctrine, we affirm one true self as the only truth. We accept all forms as temporary appearances while we reflect on changeless truth. As we get started, I have a couple of announcements for events coming up, a couple of retreats, and they're listed under events on our website. So our administrator can put the link up for the events. The first one is called the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat. It's being held in the Old Mission in Santa Barbara, California, September 12th to 14th, 2014. The purpose of the Satsang Retreat is to spend time with souls who have experienced the permanent shift called awakening. And our Satsang Retreat leaders are Timothy Conway, Magdi MB, and we have music by Kirtana. And the second retreat is also in Santa Barbara, California, and it's immediately following the first one. It's called Soak in the Beauty Retreat. And it consists of silence in the morning, walks in the sunny Santa Barbara area each afternoon, and a group discussion each evening with Regina Dawn Akers and Timothy Conway. And this retreat is provided as an opportunity to deeply integrate the peace and clarity and wisdom. It's a four-night retreat that'll leave you with a feeling of in the heart. And it's also, you know, held in the Santa Barbara Old Mission. Well, now it's time for our opening song. And this is a time just to relax the mind and put away the thoughts of the day and just to be here now. The song is called Rhythm in the Pews by Ray Lynch. Well, now is the time in our worship service schedule for our invocation. So let us join our hearts and our minds in prayer. We open to the support of all in the universe, including our infinite intelligence, the Holy Spirit, in assisting us. In assisting us in opening up our hearts and inspiring and empowering us to support each other so that we may all experience the truth about ourselves. We ask for support in consciousness, in feeling our connection with the essence of everyone and everything in the universe at all times, so that we can truly know and feel that we are one. We awaken in total trust that everything the universe brings us is a gift of love and support. We feel deep appreciation for these gifts, and we unconditionally accept them all. We see the activities of our day as an experience, an expression of our expanded awareness. And we rejoice in all of them exactly as they are. We feel the abundance bestowed upon us by the universe, and we joyfully accept all the riches inherent in this day. We are committed to an ever-expanding awareness of who we really are. We are in absolute trust that we are unconditionally loved and supported by the universe. And we fully accept that love and support. Amen. Well, this is the time in our worship service for an inspirational reading by a member. And our reader today is Judy Frisk, my wife, and Judy will be reading from You Can Have It All by Arnold Patton.
Today's reading is from Arnold Patton's book, You Can Have It All, A Simple Guide to a Joyful and Abundant Life. Harmony in Relationships. Every relationship in our lives reflects our relationship with ourselves. When we truly love ourselves, we attract loving, harmonious relationships with others. What does harmony in relationships look like? The universe provides us with a perfect model. Since the universe is a mutual support system, the key to harmonious relationships is the willingness to support others and to allow them to support us. And how is this best accomplished? By connecting with others' essence to essence and recognizing both their essence and our essence as perfect. Anything less than perfection isn't real. It's an illusion. Anger, confusion, anxiety, fear are illusions. When we choose to interpret the behavior of ourselves or another as angry or unloving, we're just giving validity to an illusion. We're also reinforcing the belief that the illusion being presented is real. When we're willing to keep our focus on our perfect essence, both we and the other person are free to be the joyful, loving beings that we truly are. The more we practice, the easier it becomes. A simple way to practice is to glance at each stranger as she walks toward us on the sidewalk. Notice her facial expression and immediately go behind that expression and see her as perfect and joyful. As we increase our willingness to do this, first with strangers, then with intimate friends, we receive a fabulous benefit. We improve our ability to see ourselves as perfect and joyful. We always attract people to us, the people and relationships we want to attract. To understand the law of attraction, let's go back to the concept of energy. Each of us emits energy signals all the time. These signals attract to us the precise people and relationships we want to bring into our lives in the present moment, although the choice is often on an unconscious level. When we attract a person who acts less than lovingly toward us, that person is showing us a part of ourselves that we do not love and accept. Our inner self is giving us the opportunity to reconnect to a part of us from which we are withholding love. Only by our willingness to reconnect to this part of ourselves and to love it just the way it is, can we open the energy that's been locked in our bodies, causing us pain and holding our power hostage. Stated another way, everyone we attract into our lives is there to support us in reclaiming our power. When we recognize the truth of this statement, we can feel grateful for every person we encounter, every relationship we attract. The more of our power we're willing to reclaim, the more love and trust we will feel for ourselves. The harmony we feel within will then be mirrored in the harmonious relationships we attract. Question: I have a strong sense that what you're saying is true, but I don't think my partner will go along with these ideas. What happens when one person in a close relationship chooses to play the real game, as you call it, but the other person insists on being competitive and judgmental? Answer: every relationship reflects for us our own thoughts, beliefs, and feelings. In a close personal relationship, the reflection of thoughts and feelings can be so intense that we tend to react rather than heighten our awareness to what's really going on. In short, we become upset by the thoughts and feelings our spouses mirror for us. Furthermore, in a marriage, there's a mutual commitment, rarely spoken of, to hold these beliefs and feelings for our spouses until our spouses are ready to accept the truth. Despite how it often appears to those in the marriage as well as to friends and relatives, neither partner in a marriage is being unfriendly or mean. Both partners are being deeply loving and supportive of each other in learning who they really are. Therefore, instead of seeing your partner as being unsupportive, realize that he's being very supportive. Realize that your best support of him is to love and accept him just the way he is. For in truth, he's precisely the way he is in order to support you. His competitive and judgmental behavior is reflecting the part of you that's still attached to competition and judgment. As you're able to love and accept him as he is, you make peace with the part of yourself that he is reflecting. As your love for him and for yourself deepens, his need to maintain his competitive, judgmental behavior will almost certainly diminish. Our partners are our perfect and persistent mirrors for us. When we're willing to value them and acknowledge their dedicated support of us, we make one of the best investments in our mutual growth that we can make.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you for the reading from Arnold Patton's book, you can have it all. The title of my talk today is Life is a Game, Simply a Game to Experience. And nothing spoils a game more than those who take it seriously. So Arnold Patton has developed a set of 19 universal principles that are the guidelines that govern our lives perfectly. And one of these principles is this. In order to have our human experiences, we have created the apparent reality that we are living outside the oneness, that there are things and people that can affect us without our consent. The truth is, there is nothing outside of us. All that we see is ourself, capital S. This becomes our new reality when we open to the belief in separation and accept the truth that we are one. Everything that we see and feel is a reflection of the state of our own consciousness. Every person we attract into our lives is showing us a percentage or a perception that we hold about ourselves. Every feeling expressed by another mirrors the feeling deep within us. This reflection is a gift, for it allows us to be aware of the beliefs that we hold and the ways that we have blocked the free flow of divine love through us. We have three haunting questions. Nothing is more basic to spiritual study than the uncovering of the identity of the being. Throughout recorded history, three questions have haunted humans. One, who am I? Two, why am I here? And three, what's my purpose? My belief is there's no way to know the absolute truth about the answers to these questions. Why? Because there are certain mysteries that are so huge and complex that they're beyond our understanding at our present level of consciousness and evolution. Einstein said, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. And since we can't be absolutely certain about the answers to these three haunting questions, all we can do is create models that approximate the truth closely enough to give us practical benefit in our daily lives. And therefore, what I'm going to share with you in the next few moments is a working model that can truly empower you in playing the human game. Is the model perfect? No. Can you pick holes in it if you try? Yes. What I can tell you is, despite its admitted weaknesses, it works extremely well. Let's take a look at the first haunting question. Who am I? You've no doubt heard something like, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And I agree with that statement. It aligns perfectly with the model that I'm presenting to you. Who you really are is an infinitely powerful and magnificent being. Snap your fingers and boom, anything you want instantly manifests. No concept of power you're familiar with comes even close to the infinite power and the omnipotence of who you really are. All the forces of nature and man put together and multiplied a billion times are but a speck compared to the power at your disposal. Because you have the power to create absolutely anything you want, your natural state is one of infinite abundance. In your natural state, you don't lack anything. Nothing is missing. No desire ever goes unfulfilled. As an infinite being, you're also in a constant state of joyfulness and peace. As an infinitely powerful, wise, and abundant being, you have the unlimited desire to express creatively and fully express the expansion of joy that comes with that expression. In fact, all of human life is essentially about creative expression, no matter what it looks like. Now let's take a look at the second haunting question. Why am I here? Well, you came here to play a game. In life, you go about your daily routine, and then from time to time, you step back out of your daily routine and play games of various kinds. And when I say games, I mean like sports, board games, cards, mountaining, bike riding, bungee jumping, driving cars at high speeds, or watching TV or movies or plays, reading great novels, or painting, singing, listening to music, or whatever it is that you love to do. You choose to play games for fun, enjoyment, entertainment, or to challenge yourself, to explore what's possible, to stretch and expand. And the same is true when it comes to why you're here. Coming here from a place of being an infinite being, at another level of the consciousness, you decided to take time away from your daily routine to play a game too. And that game is called the human. Does this surprise you? Does playing a game seem too trivial a reason to be here or to explain what we call pain, hardship, complexity of human life? If so, stick with me for a little more as I put more and more pieces of the puzzle together. Let's take a look at the third haunting question. What is my purpose? You have a general purpose and a specific purpose. The general purpose is to play the human game and receive the benefits people receive from playing all games: fun, enjoyment, entertainment, challenge, stretching, expansion, exploration, pushing the envelope of what's possible, and so on. Your specific purpose is to play the human game in the unique way that you choose as a unique infinite being. We all play the human game, but we do it in completely different ways. Even when it looks like we're doing the same things, doing things the same way, or for the same reasons, we're not. Everything is custom designed for us as unique human, individual, infinite beings. And in the final analysis, I don't suppose the creating force has a purpose greater than the joyful expression of creativity. So there are no winners or losers in the creative power concept, because each plays a game of his own choosing, and there are only winners. All games start out with a concept. Then a playing field is built, then the necessary tools and support resources are provided, like golf clubs or footballs or baseballs or tennis rackets. And then rules and regulations or structures are developed. So the players must strictly adhere to these rules if they want to play. And it's the same with the human game. Suppose we discuss the concept that drives the human game. So I'm a big fan of the Star Trek television and movie series, Star Trek. Yeah, I'm a Trekkie. And in the Star Trek show, there's a concept called the Prime Directive. And the Prime Directive is a core principle that guides the actions of the crew of the Starship Enterprise as they explore space. Well, the human game has a Prime Directive too, and it's to fully explore what happens when you limit unlimited power, when you limit the infinite ability to express creatively, when you limit the infinite wisdom and power and abundance and joyfulness and peace, that's your natural state. And I'm going to introduce this concept from a philosophical perspective. All the games we play were originally invented by someone who had a specific reason or motivation for creating them. And the human game is no exception. From an expanded and infinite perspective, imagine that one infinite being thought, wouldn't it be interesting to see what would happen if I limited myself or restricted myself, if I hid my power, my wisdom, abundance, and joyfulness? Could I actually convince myself that it was gone? Could I actually convince myself that I'm the exact opposite of who I really am? What then? What would be the whole journey and experience? What would that be like if I could pull it off? Well, since you're an infinite being, if you want to play the game of limitation and restriction, you have to create an alternative self or a persona to be the main player of that game. You must then hide all awareness of who you really are and all of your power and wisdom and abundance and joyfulness and peace from that persona. You must then create other players to play the human game with you and a playing field on which to play and a helper who can secretly guide you while you're blind to the truth of who you really are and what's really going on. The persona who plays the human game is the part of you who always thinks of the you as I. And the other players are the people that you see around you and interact with. The playing field is what we call the universe, or physical reality, or three-dimensional reality. And the helper who secretly guides you is the real you, your infinite self, whom I will be calling the Holy Spirit. Now, words get tricky here, but it's important to understand that while the persona and the Holy Spirit aspects of you feel and appear separate, they're actually one and the same infinite being that's unified at a very deep and profound level. The apparent separation is a necessary part of the illusion created by a sleight of hand in consciousness. From the moment you, the persona, is born, you actually begin hiding your tremendous power, wisdom, and abundance from yourself and constructing an alternative reality, a playing field, on which to play the human game. We mistakenly believe that we are at the mercy of life rather than its creators. Such beliefs make us feel impotent, and we have hastened to fill in for these perceived weaknesses with technological aids. We are not encouraged to use our natural telepathic capacities, so we have telephones. We do not need total recall because we have computers. We do not need our homing instincts because we have GPSs. And we do not need to practice health because we have doctors. In addition to hiding your power and creating an alternative reality on which to play the human game, you also convince yourself the hiding places are so painful and dangerous and scary and deadly that they should be avoided at all costs. And just as the baseball game has 9 innings and the football game has 4 quarters and the golf game has 18 holes, the human game has 2 phases. Phase one. During phase one of the human game, your expanded self uses all of your power and creativity and ingenuity to hide all awareness of who you really are and what your natural state is, and to keep you from finding it at any cost. Everything possible is done to convince you that the persona and the three-dimensional playing field are real, and to limit and restrict you more and more until you're absolutely convinced that you're the exact opposite of who you really are. As you ponder this, ask yourself if you think it's any accident that the human game begins with us being born as helpless infants with no power, knowledge, or abundance of any kind. Phase two. After forgetting who you really are and deeply immersing yourself in severely limiting and restrictive experiences in phase one of the human game, your expanded self starts nudging you into phase two. At that point, you begin to feel incomplete, like you're missing something, like nothing makes sense anymore, like there must be something else going on that you don't know about. You then start looking for answers to a higher purpose for your life. And once you reclaim your power and wisdom and abundance, you can then start playing the human game without limits or restrictions of any kind. And that's when things get really cool. This thought may have crossed your mind. Why would anyone want to play a game like that? To have so much power and abundance and wisdom, and then hide it, and then find it again. That sounds crazy. Well, if thoughts like that did cross your mind, let me ask you 2 questions in response. One, why does anybody play any game? And two, are the rules, regulations, and structure of the human game really more arbitrary or crazy than those of golf or baseball or basketball or soccer or football or chess or checkers or even Monopoly? Another metaphor is the sun and clouds. Who you really are is an infinitely powerful, wise, and abundant being, and compare that to the sun. When you think about the sun, you think of about enormous amounts of energy and power, right? That's a good fit. When you play the human game, you must create illusions that convince you that you're restricted, vulnerable, fragile, poor, and weak. A creature who gets tossed around by people and places and things that you have no control over. And that's the equivalent of creating a bunch of clouds, putting them in front of the sun, and convincing yourself there's no sun, that the clouds are real, and the clouds are all there is. To extend the metaphor, when it's cloudy out, the sun is still shining, yes. When there's a hurricane blowing, is the sun still shining? Yes. If it's raining, is the sun still shining? Yes. No matter what happens on our planet, the sun is always shining. And it's the same with you. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what the circumstances look like, who you really are doesn't change. You're still an infinite being whose natural state is infinite power, abundance, wisdom, joyfulness, and peace. A Course in Miracles calls the human game a tiny mad idea. Jesus clearly teaches that God exists, but a very important concept is that the world is our tiny mad idea. The phrase comes from chapter 27 of the text of A Course in Miracles, the healing of the dream, section 8. Where there, Jesus teaches that compared to the magnitude of heaven, believing this world is real is laughable, mad, insane, and tiny. Further, the hero of our dream is our body, the central figure in the dreaming world. Here's the key passage in text 27, chapter 27, section 8. It says, "Into eternity, where all is one, there crept a tiny mad idea at which the disciples remembered not to laugh." He forgot to laugh. "In his forgetting, did the thought become a serious idea, possible of both accomplishment and real effects. So the world, therefore, seemed to become a very serious idea because we forgot to laugh it away. A Course in Miracles gives us the means to remember to laugh at it and realize that our real self has never left the mind of God. The following passage from ACIM compares the idea that God did not create the world, but did send the Holy Spirit as a connection to God in heaven for the dreaming son. This is text chapter 25, section 3, paragraph 2. It says, "God's law does not apply directly to the world that you perceive because perception has no meaning in God. But God's law is still reflected everywhere in your mind. This does not make the world real at all. But you believe that the world is real, and you cannot be completely separate from God. God cannot enter your insanity, but God's sanity is still in you. And you cannot be lost forever in your mad wish to be separate from God." So there's no hope for salvation in the world. There's no hope for salvation in this world. And that's the good news. It's good news because we no longer have to depend on someone or something outside of ourselves to play its proper role, to arrive at the right time to meet our needs, or to do anything. We can let go of expecting someone else will save us. We can turn to the only place and thing that we can absolutely depend upon, ourselves, our real self, capital S. We can let everyone else off the hook. We can tell the world, "You are freed from being responsible for me. I no longer hold you accountable for my unhappiness. I've realized that that is my own job, not yours. I take total responsibility for my own happiness." Byron Katie said, "It's like falling in love with yourself. There's nothing to do, no one to be, no responsibility, no meaning, no suffering, no death. You no longer believe yourself into a separate, distant polarity where you're identified as a tiny speck making grandiose efforts to prove that something is true, realizing that you've never left the original oneness, means that you were never born and you will never die. May the Holy Spirit add His blessing to this message. Now it's time in our worship service schedule for our open meditation and contemplation. As the music plays, reflect on how, when you play a game, it's the experience of fun in anticipating a win or loss, and that nothing spoils a game more than someone who takes it too seriously. And above all, don't worry, be happy. Remember the perfection of all of God's creation in restoring your wholeness as this selection of music plays. Oh, and also, this is the time that we pass the basket or plate, so to speak, and we invite you to give a donation, should you choose to do so. And our administrator will post a link where you may, if you like, make a donation to Awakening Together. All donations in any amount are truly helpful in meeting our operating expenses, and they are deeply appreciated. Okay, here's the music. Thank you. Now we have about 15 minutes for sharing. This is open sharing by all. So I invite you to share your thoughts based on today's teaching. Just raise your hand and I'll be happy to pass the mic over to you. Okay, Lynn, thank you very much. Please take the mic.
Well, it seems so clear to me the way that I try to hide my own guilt through trying to rearrange things or make things seem so... make the ego seem so innocent. and it really is just a matter of really, really, really knowing that it cannot hide. And knowing that there is no need to hide. There's no need to play a game. There's no need to try to make things different than they are, because everything is perfectly fine all the time. There's no need to be afraid. And so when I stop listening to ego telling me that there's a need to be afraid and try to hide my thoughts or actions or hide myself in any way at all, I can be free to share and do anything and be anything. And it's just so wonderful to not have no reason to want to play that game anymore. And especially, you know, when I see how insane all that thought system is, and you know, I know that I do have immense power in this world, and the first power I have is the power of changing my mind and allowing my mind to be changed. I can choose to change my mind, but I have to allow Jesus and the Holy Spirit to do that work for me, and I'm so very grateful for that opportunity. And so, thank you so much, Phil, and a beautiful service this morning.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Thank you for that beautiful sharing. So, who else would like to take the mic and share your thoughts? Just go ahead and raise your hand, and then I will acknowledge you and pass the mic over to you. Okay, Regina, go ahead and please take the mic.
Hello. the teaching that you shared this morning is a teaching that, you know, Brent Haskell frequently shares here, here in Colorado. but it's also a teaching that came to me, you know, when I was writing NTI Acts chapter 10. You know, in NTI Acts chapter 10, it describes us as freedom. That is the word that it used to describe what we are. And it talks about how, you know, freedom is free. And freedom is free, of course, to play anything that it wants. And that was a very, very helpful concept for me, primarily in letting go of guilt, you know, or in letting go of the belief that I'm bad for what I do or what I think or what I say or what I don't do or what I don't think or what I don't say. And what happened for me, you know, at some point after Acts 10 came, is I gradually, and now it's become almost full, is I gradually began to just trust all things. You know, even when I would say something and somebody else may get upset by what I say, where once upon a time I would have judged myself like that wasn't supposed to happen. I can't even imagine now that wasn't supposed to happen. Like, you know, that's like saying a certain line shouldn't be in the movie. You know, to me it's like friggin' ridiculous now. That doesn't mean I don't watch my mind, because I do. In fact, I watch my mind all day long, and I do my extreme best to only follow the inner energy that feels like what we would call Holy Spirit or right-minded intuition. But, you know, sometimes I slip and I follow wrong-minded intuition, and I don't judge that as, oops, that was imperfect. It was only perfect to follow the right-minded intuition. I just don't judge it anymore. I say, okay, so that now that's part of the show. Let's see what happens. You know, that's in the show now. So I try to listen to, it's as if there's two directors of the show. One director we call ego, which is the belief in the personal self, and the other director is what we call Holy Spirit, which is, you know, the universal awareness of what's true. And I do my best to listen to the universal awareness of what's true director. But if I slip and listen to the ego director, it's just like, oh, wow, that got added to the plot. Let's see what happens now. And if I'm able to do that without guilt, I actually come right back to the universal awareness director. It having no guilt about my own mistakes, and having no judgment about someone else's mistakes, and here mistake is defined as listening to the, you know, the mistaken director, allows me to return to the right-minded director immediately. So and everything's okay. Everything's okay, because none of this is real. But I don't use none of this is real as an excuse to live in my wrong mind. That just doesn't feel right for me at all. So that's it. Thank you very much. Love you.
Thank you very much too, Regina. And we all love you as well. So who else would like to take the mic now? Share whatever's on your mind, on your heart, anything at all about playing the game or listening for the Holy Spirit. Just raise your hand and I'll pass the mic over to you. We still have 5 or 6 minutes for the open sharing. This is a time when you can take the mic and add your comments or whatever is on your heart whatever's on your mind. So just go ahead and raise your hand and take the mic and we'll continue. Okay, Jay, go ahead and take the mic.
You know, thank you for your message today, Phil. And my thoughts about playing the game. You know, we usually play the game to win. I know, and I see myself doing that sometimes at work. I think of a win as a successful project, or sometimes even a win as in a sense of something working out, quote unquote, the way I'd want it to, quote unquote. But I'm starting to, I think, redefine what I'm thinking of as win. Is it's a win when I can just observe my mind and not be attached to the outcome, whether it does turn out the way I maybe at one point wanted it to or didn't, or even if I get frustrated, to also observe that too, to just stay in that present space of observing, because really, as we all know, what's underneath that is that worthlessness sense of self. The, you know, Regina calls it the I am bad thought. I see it in myself as a very, very deep worthlessness consciousness that I think's always been there, deeply buried. And it's probably there within all of us too, at that deep recesses of our unconscious. And so I'm starting to think of a win more and more now as really all that I want to do now is just not try to change anything, just sort of observe. And I know as I've been doing that much more actively in the recent time, the energy of the attached patterns, shall we say, has reduced a great deal. And my heart has opened some, and there's been some energetic release too. And Robbie is agreeing with that and saying, you know, a win in the game is to observe and participate for me, yes. Actually, a win for me, Robbie, would be for you to learn on the guitar that Santana song and, you know, play it for all of us here in the room. Now, that would be a win, okay. But I'm sure that's not an easy feat to accomplish. Because the more I realize that, the more I'm a part of both my victories and losses, or whatever, however I see that as in the game. You know, things worked out the way I wanted them to. Things didn't work out the way I wanted them to. Like Regina has mentioned before, I'm looking at everything right now through the lens of purification, because that's the study that I'm engaging in right now. Is it's not just an intellectual study. I'm really putting myself into it, to face and allow to come out of my mind whatever wants to be there. Because it's our lives of not really wanting to feel something that's maybe uncomfortable, only wanting to feel the things that feel comfortable. And the truth is to be truly happy, to be truly peaceful, I've got to observe those as well and realize that those experiences aren't the source of my happiness either, that both the duality of the pleasant and unpleasant are both equally part of my imagination. Of course, it's easier to do that with the ones that are pleasant, seemingly. But as my judgments about what I deem bad or undesirable start to change, it's actually a lot easier for me to just be with whatever comes up. Wherever I am, walking through the store or here listening and gather or awakening together or listening to a teaching or wherever I happen to be, it's getting easier and easier to listen and to observe and to just be with what's there. And more stuff just keeps flowing out and keeps healing. And I think it's a very fast process to healing. And it's one I guess maybe I wish I would have done more committedly a long time ago. Because the ways in which we're dishonest with ourselves, the only way we can see those things is by letting ourselves observe ourselves and actually observe what's going on in the moment. So I think it's already probably time up for the sharing. So I will let the mic go.
Well, thank you, Jay. Thank you for the wonderful sharing this morning, everyone. Appreciate all of your comments and your attention. And so now I will play our closing song.
Taking away the moments that make up the
So I'd like to thank you all for your attendance today, and thanks to our reading assistant, Judy Frisk, and to our administrator, Jay McCormick. And I invite you to stay now, if you can, and join us for an hour of fellowship right here, right now, in this room. So I will release the mic to you, Lynn. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Phil. And what a great